Moses had told Pharaoh to let my people go, and now, yes, finally, they were free. So Moses sings the song of freedom that we read from Exodus chapter 15. I will sing to the Lord. He's become my salvation. Your right hand, O God, shattered the enemy. In your unfailing love, you will lead the people that you have redeemed. So the people of Israel escaped from slavery to freedom. Here was hope where none had seemed possible. And so they sing the song of freedom. And we tonight, we sang songs of freedom, didn't we? Well, the people of Israel sang their song of freedom. And the song of redemption for the people of Israel, that same song that Moses sang, has resonated down the centuries from then right through history to now. Because over the years, enslaved people all around the world have read the story of Moses and the escape from Egypt as giving them hope that from their slavery might come freedom, even when it seemed impossible. Praying for Exodus, praying for redemption. So that's why this reading was chosen for Churches Together services. Well, across the world, really, the Worldwide Council of Churches asked the people of the Caribbean to prepare material for this week of prayer for Christian unity. The people of the Caribbean chose this reading because they too sing a song of hope for release from oppression. Because the people and nations of the Caribbean were all founded through conquest from foreign colonial empires, whether it was Britain or France or Spain or Holland. European ships would load slaves in West Africa and take them to be sold to plantation owners in the Caribbean. And then those ships would return back across the Atlantic to ports like Liverpool, loaded with sugar and tobacco. The wealth of Liverpool and its merchants was created on the back of slave labor. And those slaves in the Caribbean read in their Bibles that Moses brought freedom for the people of Israel. And they wondered, could it possibly mean freedom for them? They sang their spirituals, "We shall overcome someday." And then finally, when all seemed impossible, slavery was banned by the 1860s. So the story of the Church of the Caribbean is one of a journey from despair to hope, from slavery to freedom. Like the Israelites, the people of the Caribbean, they have a song of victory and freedom to sing. And yet, other issues continue to enslave and threaten the dignity of the people. Many of the current challenges of the people of the Caribbean are a direct legacy of the colonial past. Because the Caribbean economies have traditionally been based on producing a single commodity like sugar or tobacco. The development has needed these countries around the Caribbean to borrow huge sums on the international money markets. And the servicing of the debt of all the money they borrowed has soaked up all the profit. There's no money left to spend on development of hospitals or schools and all that was meant to happen. Too often the people have been left in poverty. And then the debt crisis in these countries has a negative impact both on the countries, the nations, and on individuals. There's a kind of chain reaction that starts. Family life is affected by economic restrictions, which can lead to economic migration in search of jobs. Might also lead to domestic abuse, to violence, to alcoholism, to drug use. The Caribbean people thought they were free from slavery and then from colonial rule. But now they seem just as enslaved as ever. So the Caribbean churches ask us to pray for their unity as they support the people and look to offer a hope of freedom from these new forms of slavery, debt, poverty, violence. So what went wrong? How did they go from freedom from one empire only to become slaves again under a different kind of empire? And the problem is that this is what we see happen to people time after time. You trace through the history of the Old Testament, and we find one empire after another taking charge and oppressing the people of Israel. Trace history over the last 2,000 years, and other empires take charge and subdue and oppress the people. And too often we find from history that oppressed people might break free, but then sadly they become even worse oppressors themselves. To use Paul's language from the second reading from the letter to the Romans, who the Romans were themselves victims of the violence and oppression of the Roman Empire, of course. Realize that all through history, people have been striving and groaning to be liberated from bondage. People have been searching and waiting for glorious freedom as children of God, but too often slipping back into a spirit of slavery. After crossing the Red Sea, the people of Israel wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. As they went, they continued to sing their song of freedom. And they also learnt a different way from the empire they'd suffered under Pharaoh. Contrast the ways of empire that they left behind in Egypt with the values of the kingdom that Moses taught them as they walked through the wilderness. Instead of grabbing and getting more and more stuff, which is the empire way of doing things, the people of Israel learnt neighborliness. Instead of seeking power over other people, they learned to build relationships alongside others. Instead of exploitation by a small elite, they learned to be a collaborative community. And Moses warned the people not to forget that they had been slaves in Egypt, not to become oppressors themselves. But they did forget, didn't they? They'd sung the song of freedom on the other side of the Red Sea in the wilderness of Sinai. They had put the ways of empire behind them, or so they thought. But then they demanded a king like the other nations. Samuel told them this wasn't a good idea, but they didn't listen. They demanded a king. They wanted to become an empire like the nations around them. So kings they had. Now these kings like David and Saul and Solomon and the rest, they had their good points, but they oppressed the people just like Samuel had predicted. The young men were conscripted to fight in the armies. The young women became concubines and sex slaves. The people were taxed to pay for the luxury of the rulers. The kings took the best of everything. And the same has been true throughout history for other empires. Babylon, Rome, the Holy Roman Empire, the British Empire, and now the huge multinational corporations and financial markets of the 20th century. These empires all have common characteristics. They gather wealth to the center. They restrict power to the few. They use violence to impose and maintain control. And they spread fear and anxiety. And too often, you know, the people of God have colluded with or unwittingly bought into these oppressive empires of the world. Archbishop Desmond Tutu tells a story of missionaries in Africa during the conquests of the British Empire. When the missionaries came to Africa, Tutu said, they had the Bible and we had the land. And then they said, let's close our eyes and pray. When we opened our eyes, we had the Bible, but they had taken the land. Is it any wonder then that the Caribbean peoples found it hard or impossible to break free from the ways of empire? Jesus contrasted the ways of empire with the kingdom of God. And Jesus proclaimed a kingdom that turned the values of empire upside down. Or should that be, turn them the right way up. In the kingdom, Jesus said, blessed are the poor. Blessed are the merciful. Empires find it hard to deal with people who are merciful or humble. And of course, empires don't find peacemakers easy to accommodate. They would rather divide and conquer. Peace in the Roman Empire only came at the point of a sword. Tonight we're asked to pray for our brothers and sisters of the churches across the Caribbean. And we're gathered here to pray for our churches here in West Kirby and Newton and Caldy. So we pray for a church as it proclaims the upside down values of the kingdom, which are always opposed to the ways of empire. I pray that as churches, we may turn away from all the temptations to follow the ways of empire, the ways of the world. Because we are called to march to a different drum. So I pray that our churches may set aside the desire for command and control in favor of prayer and contemplation. That instead of hierarchical management by vestry meetings or church council, the notion that the vicar knows best, we may instead build relationships of trust among equals. Instead of looking out for the institution of the church, we may look out instead for the people on the margins, those who are discarded or excluded by the empire. That instead of desperately trying to patch up the bricks and mortars of our buildings, we may prioritize fellowship with our brothers and sisters in Christ and value all people as made in the image of God. And if all that sounds a bit idealistic, well, yes, I am praying for hope beyond empire. And I invite you all to pray for freedom from whatever slavery we find ourselves in or see other people in. I invite you to pray for hope beyond empire. We hope for what we don't yet have, Paul said. We hear all creation groaning, see the children of God reveal the true nature of God's relationship with all people. A spirit of adoption as heirs, as sons and daughters of God, not as slaves, but free from all fear and oppression. Together, may we sing the redemption song of Moses. Your right hand, O God, shattered the enemy. In your unfailing love, you will lead the people you have redeemed. So across the Caribbean, across West Kirby, may we pray against the ways of empire. May we pray instead to our Father, Abba, Father in heaven. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Amen.